All right, everybody, welcome back into the fifth hour of the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We got you until midnight. Great night of high school football across the entire state of Tennessee. Quarterfinal action, a lot of great games, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of smiles, a lot of tears, a lot of elation. That's what happens when you get this far. It's unfortunate that teams got to go home, but some the other teams are moving on. So another fun night. Has to do with the top and bottom of every hour, scoreboard update time. Kenny, hit it, brother.
That's right. First, let's discuss the teams that have punched their ticket to the state championship games. That is in the private school divisions. Let's go ahead and start off in Division 1 Single A. Friendship Christian beats USJ by a score of 24-20, survives a late push by the USJ Bruins. Who will they play? That's a good question. They will play Nashville Christian. That final score was definitely a lot more than what I had it last time. What was that one, Joe? That was...
Which one?
Nashville Christian.
56-20, I think the score was.
56-20, yeah. I'm sorry. Blowout. They dominated Jackson Christian. I should have written that down. I have a pen. I should use it. However, that's irrelevant. Nashville Christian wins. They will play Friendship Christian in the state championship game in that classification. Division 2, 2A, will feature CPA. CPA beat Chattanooga Christian 28-13. We'll talk to Coach Ingle Martin about them punching yet another state championship game ticket. Who will they play? Trent Dilfer in the Lipscomb Academy Mustangs. They beat Knoxville Webb 44-7. They are the Mustangs, right?
Like they are correct. Okay. Mustangs.
Yes. As a horse, I'm pretty sure as a Mustang. 44-7. Lipscomb plays CPA for the D2-2A state title. Now for the D2-3A state title, arguably the game of the night. MBA beats Macaulay 28-27. Macaulay scores a touchdown with 45 seconds remaining. They do the Tom Osborne and go for two, a move that I will always endorse. But they do not get it. Marcel Rignes, four touchdown passes, moves Big Red to the state championship game where they will play Baylor. Baylor beat MBA late. I think that one ended up being, what, 44-39, I think was the final score on that?
44-38.
I can't read my own handwriting. But irrelevant. Whit Muschamp versus Marcel Reed for all the marbles in Chattanooga. MBA and Baylor for the D2-3A title. Pearl Cone beats Lexington 41-17. They get to move on. Oakland beats Blackman 48-23. They move on to play Maryville in the semifinals for the ninth straight season. How about that? Giles County takes down Sweetwater 24-13. They get to take on 3A powerhouse Alcoa in the state semifinals. McKenzie ends Fayetteville's undefeated dream season by a score of 20-18. Beach ends Cane Ridge's season by a score of 35-7. Page ends Nolensville's dream undefeated season. They win the rematch 35-28, where they will take on Henry County, who end up being Springfield 27-19 in that rematch. Patriots versus Patriots for the right to represent the best Patriots team in the state championship. East Nashville gets their revenge on Smith County. They win 40-28. Clay County dismantles Gordonsville in their rematch, 41-6. They will play Coalfield in the 1A state semifinals. Friendship Christian. Chattanooga Tyner, that one is final. They beat East Robertson 35-7. York defeats Monterey. York, for the second time in school history, will be in the state semifinals. They will play at Chattanooga Tyner. That's not going to be an easy game for York, but nonetheless, they made history, and they are in. I believe that is our scoreboard update.
Well done. I got it at the buzzer. Good job, Elijah. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and bringing in the head coach at CPA, Ingle Martin. Big win tonight, headed back to the state championship. Coach, thanks for joining us, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
I love it. Elijah and I sit here, and we have ruled that your schedule this year might have been the toughest high school football schedule in the entire country, Coach. You played some big games, some big teams. You won some, you lost some. What matters, what you did in the playoff, and you went tonight. Tell me how that tough schedule, Coach, played into your favor tonight.
Well, you know, any time I think you can have some adversity, you know, we like to – I think, teach from it. I think it's a little bit harder sometimes for the kids to learn from it because, you know, when you walk out of a stadium and you lose, everybody wants to just talk about the result. And very rarely do people look at what's actually happening. You know, and for us, you know, we played several of these teams. You know, BA had a heartbreaker right there at the end where it looked like the kid got in the end zone. So they're a play away or a call away from the state championship game. NBA's in the state championship. Oakland, you know, has got a chance to be in the state championship. Lipscomb, I mean, we've got a bunch of teams that were in the playoffs. Even the guys that we scrimmaged Springfield lost tonight was in the quarterfinals. And so I think all of those opportunities for us, you know, allowed our kids to grow and to learn. And I think the thing that I'm the most proud of is, you know, we lost a couple games in a row there in the middle of the season, and you know, things weren't very, I guess, going well, you know, at that point for us. The kids all believed, and they grew even closer together. We told them there was only one way out, and that was doing it all as one, all together. And those kids kept doing it, and they kept working at practice. And that's what's really fun about high school football is you got a chance with 15 to 18-year-olds. You got a chance for them to get better, and that's what practice is. And the workouts that they had and all of the opportunities that you have in all those small meetings just lead to people growing and getting better. And so that's what our kids did, our seniors. Really proud of them. You know, Bo Berklow and Easton Dillard tonight on defense leading probably our best effort defensively all year. Our defense coordinator, Coach Taylor, has done a great job pulling those guys together. And really, our last several weeks has been, I think, really good defensively. And so tonight was fun. Obviously, Coach Massey at Chattanooga Christian, who's been at Baylor for a long time, is one of the best coaches in the state. And his kids played really hard, and got to give a lot of credit to them. But it was a great high school football game and a fun night.
Talking to Coach Ingle Martin, his CPA Lions have punched their ticket to Chattanooga, where they'll play Lipscomb Academy for all of the marbles in D2 2A. And Coach, I love how you talked about in the regular season, you schedule so hard, and the end result of the regular season was 5-5. But the process is what led to being able to beat teams like Boyd Buchanan in the first round, go to Lausanne and pull off a big win, then go on the road to the other side of the state and beat Chattanooga Christian tonight. But what lessons were you guys able to learn in those regular season games that helped you get through such a tough playoff road? Because the teams in your classification that make the state title don't have to go through the amount of teams you guys had to go through.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that when you make a mistake and there's a Division I kid on the other side of that mistake, it gets magnified pretty quickly. You know, our defensive guys were talking about it this year. I don't know, but we've never played this many Division I quarterbacks. And, you know, for us, you know, several years ago, it was a big deal to play one Division I player at all during the season. And now we're playing multiple kids. And, you know, I think when that happens, it's like, you know, I hate to use a baseball analogy in football, but if you don't see really good pitching, you know, going through it with my son this summer on his Little League World Series trip, and you know, I'm thinking about all this because I've been talking about it with people. But you got to see good pitching, and for us, you got to see a running back that can cut. You got to see a D lineman that can move. You got to see an O line that operates as one. You got to see linebackers fill. You got to see kickers put the ball where it's supposed to be kicked. And when that happens, if you're not where you're supposed to be, it gets magnified. And so we can teach off of that. And the hard part is honestly when you have a ton of success, it's really hard to teach because, you know, it still worked. And even though you did it wrong, you still maybe got a first down, or you still got a touchdown, or you still made the tackle, or whatever it is. But the biggest thing is when you make a mistake against people that can execute and have really good players and good coaching staffs, it gets magnified. And we've had a lot of mistakes this year, but to our kids' credit, they didn't let all the outside noise, they didn't let what the world would say is a successful season dictate their belief in where we could grow as a group. And that's the thing that I think is really rare, you know, to have some of the stuff happen that we had, and to have the seniors and the older guys and even some of the young guys come in and just believe in each other, believe in what we're doing at practice. Because it's hard to have a practice, a good practice after several losses. You know, it's hard to have good meetings. It's hard to come in enthusiastic, and our kids did, and we really work on that. Your identity is not tied to your performance. You know, we're teaching 15 to 18-year-olds, and so you know, high school football is high school football. You know, you guys are awesome. Y'all cover it. And it's really important to us. But, you know, if you drive an hour, 2 hours in any direction from Chattanooga and ask who won the CPA game, unless you're driving to Nashville, people are going to say, well, why are you talking about an accountant? Nobody's going to have any idea what you're talking about. And so for us, we just want to keep the right perspective. It's high school football. High school football can be such a great tool for young men to learn how to go into the rest of their lives. And that's why most of us do it. We do it because we really believe in the lessons that will be learned. And I think, you know, most of these kids aren't going to play college football, and none of them are going to play in the NFL. You know, maybe one kid out of however many. I don't know what the crazy stats are, but 100% of them are going to be husbands and fathers, and 100% of them are going to have opportunity to be community leaders. And that's what's cool about high school football, is because the rest of your life, you're doing business with these guys. You're, you know, in different communities where, hey, I played against you. Yeah, hey, I remember you. And that's what it's about. And that's what makes high school football so special, because these guys are going to run into each other the rest of their lives. And so for all of us, you know, it's really fun to get to do it. And our seniors and these guys, again, just being able to see that, hey, just because we got beat here, just because I made this mistake, doesn't define me in this moment, but I can learn, I can grow. And really all that matters is what I can control, which is my attitude, my effort. You know, for us, we're a Christian school, so we believe, you know, this thing's a whole lot bigger than just football. This is about what God's doing in these boys' lives, and I promise you that high school football is not the most important thing that God's doing in their lives or will do in their lives. And so, but you know, while they're 15 to 18, I really don't know of a better way to teach them about accountability, about being responsible, about being a good husband and a good father, because I can't give them a four-year-old to go chase around, you know, but I can give them 102 other guys to be responsible for. You know, having a senior try to be responsible for a freshman and a sophomore, and picking up pads after practice or getting water out to practice, that's a pretty good start for one day, you know, being responsible for an actual family. And so we're thankful for two more weeks with these guys. Got a really great group of seniors that we're going to enjoy the heck out of spending these 2 weeks with.
I will tell you, Coach, and we'll let you go after this, that was the best 5 minutes of sports talk radio I've ever heard in my life. We could play that on a loop, what you just told us about high school football and these kids and learning and community and being leaders and fathers the rest of the night. Beautiful. Coach, thank you for that. Thank you for your time. Best of luck in the state championship. We really appreciate you, Coach.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all staying up so late on these Friday nights and covering all these kids and everything they do.
Thanks, Coach. Safe travels back home.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Engel Martin, head football coach over at CPA. Hey, Kenny, do you want to get the break and get Lance on the other side? You'll do that? Will that work for you? You'll do it now? Do it now.
Right.
Come on. Let's go back
We'll
go back to the live. The phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. And bring in Lance. What's happening, Lance?
What's up, guys? That's a tough one to follow there. That was an incredible interview, boys.
It's tough to follow Engel Martin.
It is.
Lance, you're at Beach and Cane Ridge tonight. Beach with one of the most surprising beatdowns of the night, surprising results based off of the score and how good the two teams were. But for people who haven't been able to tune in all night, how was Beach able to take control of this game?
Yeah, they were just incredible on the ground tonight. You know, their starting quarterback didn't even get in until about the third or in the second half until about the third drive. For Beach, they were running a lot of wildcat, a lot of, you know, wide receiver and running backs in the shotgun, and we're getting the edge all day. And I think that was the big thing there, was that first play from scrimmage in the second half. I believe it was a 69-yard touchdown run. The receiver got the edge, and he never looked back, and that was, to me, was the story of the game. Getting that outside, not having to contain for Cane Ridge was really big. And it was just, it was a masterclass by Beach, man. I mean, that was excellent football there tonight by them.
So, you enjoyed the game. Well, I'm glad, cause that was a game that, we pictured Elijah and I a few weeks ago, that would be a collision course game. And I thought Beach would take it, but it'd be a lot closer than that. But Beach, just as you saw tonight, Lance, just pushes you down the field, and it's hard to stop that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly right. It wasn't until that missed field goal by Beach was the first time they didn't score in that whole game. They had scored four straight touchdowns and were just, you know, grinding out that clock. And I know both you and Elijah told me about Beach, told me how well coached they were. And you know, just seeing that in person was incredible. So I mean, that was a great game. The Ravens should hold their head up high. There's a lot of great players on that team. That's a great football team right there. But you know, at the end of the day, those Beach Boys are a tough team to beat.
I love the Beach Boys.
Yeah, they're good. Brian Wilson was excellent. Hey, Lance, thanks, man. Do we have you next week, or are you going to take it off?
I'll be out of town next week, but I would love to get over to Chattanooga for the championship, man.
Well, I-24, about 2 hours. You run right into it.
Can't miss it, man.
Lance, thanks for all you've done this year, man. We appreciate you. And thanks for following me on Twitter. I made my week last week when you did that.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. I'm happy to do it, man. I've had so much fun this year. I'm really honored to be a part of this, and I can't wait to do more with you guys and more with high school football here in the future.
Well done. Don't take it personal that I muted you, but I still follow you, so it's all good.
Oh.
And you still owe us tacos.
Yeah, we want tacos, man.
That tab's running.
All right.
You
got to
come back.
All right, I got
you got to come this way from Cane Ridge past the station, so you know what to do.
Yeah. I got this.
Look, I'm not the one. You're not the one that I had to hold Kenny crying because the tacos didn't show up last week. I'm not doing that again this week. All right? Just letting you know.
All right. I got to take care of Big Kenny, all right?
All right. Thanks, brother. Be good, man.
All right, guys.
All right, let's get to the break now, Kenny. All right, we'll get to the break real quick now. You listen to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106 for the game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 for the game. Our phone lines are blowing up, and we're so honored that our phone lines are sponsored by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, your one-stop solution for everything that is in the world that is perfect. Elijah?
That's right, Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Don't blame us for your bankruptcy. On the line right now is Anthony Fiorella. He was at Blackman and Oakland tonight as well. Oakland pulling away late, and our man joins us right now. Anthony, how was the game tonight?
Well, obviously cold, definitely. It was a chilly one for us, but no, honestly, yeah, I thought it was a tale of two halves, Elijah. I mean, in the first half, it was a lot lower scoring than I think a lot of people thought it would be, and then there in the second half, Oakland was able to make some adjustments at halftime, and their offense just took off, and that was it.
Yeah, and we had David Janes on about an hour or so ago, too. We've been talking about whenever it was a 28-23 game, because Blackman hung around there. Did you get the sense that maybe there might be some like weirdness in the air where Blackman started to finally maybe have a chance to pull this thing out before Oakland obviously turned on that switch that they have that only a few teams in the entire state have?
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Blackman came out tonight, and I'm not sure if you guys talked with David about it, but Blackman came out tonight, and from the get-go, it was Wildcat, Wildcat, Wildcat. They were running the ball with Ben Marshall taking a majority of the snaps there in the first half especially. And honestly, they had some success with it. They had only scored one touchdown in the first half, and it was 14-9 at halftime, but was able to get some first downs. And just the fact that they were able to kind of play keep away from Oakland, I think, is what helped them kind of hang in there as long as they did. Oakland was able to make it a two-possession game twice in the third quarter. Both times, Blackman was able to come out in a wildcat, and they ran the ball and were able to put some sustained drives together and respond with touchdowns of their own. But there in the fourth quarter, things just kind of spiraled out of control for them. Oakland was able to get one stop on defense, and then Blackman's defense, you could tell, was just a little gas there, it looked like, in the second half, and wasn't able to get enough stops.
Talking to Anthony, who was covering the game tonight, Oakland and Blackman. Let me ask you this, Anthony, and you've watched this Oakland team throughout the year. I know CPA beat him and beat him pretty good the regular season, but this team's been on a mission. It seems like that was like the kick in the butt they needed, and since then they just rolled through. And Elijah talked about 28-23, the little what, you know, in the air kind of thing, but no panic again. They just kept playing their game. It's like they just laser focused and get it done. Can anybody stop this train? I mean, just, I know probably haven't seen a lot about it Maryville this year, but it's going to be tough to stop this train of Oakland now. They seem to be rolling on all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, these next 2 weeks are definitely by no means going to be easy, for sure. I mean, it never is when you get this late into the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, you're exactly right, Joe. It's almost like you were watching the game. I mean, they didn't falter. You know, when things started to get to the point where Blackman was kept fighting, kept clawing, kept getting their way back into the ball game, Oakland didn't budge at all. You know, they stuck to the game plan. They leaned on their defense like they have all year to be able to get a couple of tough stops late, and just stuck with their bread and butter. I mean, they love to run the football, and they never shied away from that. And ultimately, it took them to a big win tonight over a really good Blackman team.
Last thing for me, Anthony, obviously the collision course was brewing all season long. Oakland, Maryville meeting for the 9th consecutive time in the state semifinals, the rubber match, actually, because they have split the last 8, 4-4. I don't know if you gotten to watch Maryville a lot this year, but you keep up with 6A football as well as anybody else in this state does. What are you expecting in this?
Well, honestly, kind of similar to what we've seen the past few years. You know, both of these teams are, we're going to hang our hat on playing tough defense, and we're going to grind it out, love to run the football. And I think, honestly, what it's going to come down to, and it's my personal favorite kind of football, so I'm always excited to watch this matchup. It's going to come down to the big guys, man. I think whoever is able to win the battle in the trenches, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but on the defensive side of the ball, I think that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be a really low-scoring game, and both teams, of course, love to run the football. Maryville, of course, with Noah Vaughn and a lot of the experience they got back on their O-line. Of course, they lost a few this year. The most games they've lost, I think, in a season since, I believe, 2000 was the last time. And ironically enough, they started that year 0-4 and went on to win 11 straight and win a state title. So going to be interesting to see what happens next week. But I definitely expect a low-scoring affair, not a whole lot of points, probably not a whole lot of offense either, but definitely going to be a good one, real good physical ball game.
Anthony, as always, I think, are you going to be at that game next week?
Yes, I will. Yes, sir. We will.
All right, we're going to need you next week, man. Thanks, brother, for the updates. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks again, guys. Y'all have a good night.
All right, we'll get to the break here as we do the top and the bottom of the hour. Elijah's got the complete scoreboard update for you. All the games have gone final. We'll have that for you next. You're listening to The Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106 for The Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back into the Game Blitz here, 102.5, 106 through the game. We got you till midnight tonight. Big Joe alongside Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny behind the glass. Quarterfinal action across the entire great state of Tennessee tonight. Some surprises, some not so surprises, and now we move to the semifinal action. But first, as we do at the top and bottom of the hour, scoreboard time, hit it, Kenny.
That's right. The scoreboard update brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Life's hard, we'll make it harder. We'll go ahead and start off with the teams that punched their tickets to the state title game. Starting in Division II Single A, Friendship Christian survives an upset bid from University School of Jackson. They win 24-20. They will go on to face Nashville Christian, who beat Jackson Christian tonight 56-20. That will be an exciting state title game. Division II 2A, CPA takes down Chattanooga Christian on the road in East Tennessee by a score of 28-13. They will face, for the third straight year, Trent Dilfer and Lipscomb Academy. They beat Knox Webb 44-7 tonight. That game also in Knoxville. Division II 3A, MBA punched their ticket 28-27 over Macaulay with a thrilling Tom Osborne-esque decision made by Macaulay's head coach at the end of the game. Scores touchdown, 45 seconds left. They go for two, two-point conversion, no good. Big Red gets to go to the big game, the state title, where they will face Baylor, who beats Brentwood Academy 44-39. Brentwood Academy with the ball on their own 16 with 9 seconds left. Throws a slant pass, and they were 1 inch short. Kevin Dyson, be damned. In 6A, Beach beat Cane Ridge 35-7. big win for Beach. They will play at Covington. They'll play at Bartlett next week in the state semifinals. Oakland beats Blackman 48-23. They will face Maryville next week. That game will be in the borough. In 5A, Page beats Nolensville in a thriller of their rematch, 35-28. Page will take on another team, that is the Patriots. That's Henry County. They beat Springfield 27-19, so we'll get a rematch of last year's thrilling state semifinal. In 4A, Pearl Cone advances to the semis. They take care of Lexington 48-24. In 3A, East Nashville exercises their week 11 demons by beating Smith County in Carthage by a score of 40-27. Also in 3A, Giles County, they take down Sweetwater 24-13. They get the pleasure of going to play Alcoa next week. In 2A, York Institute beats Monterey 35-21, punching their ticket to the state semifinals for the second time in school history. They will play Chattanooga Tyner, who beat East Robertson Knight, ending their dream season 35-7. Decatur Riverside beat Lewis County 33-26. They advance in 2A. And in 1A, Clay County demolishes Gordonsville by a score of 41-6 in their rematch. They move on to play Coalfield in the semifinals. McKenzie beats Fayetteville, ending Fayetteville's undefeated season by a score of 20-18. So Fayetteville's season ends. McKenzie moves on, and that was your scoreboard update.
Well done. Okay, we're gonna go to
Our man Adam Brown.
Okay.
Here. Yeah.
Got so many notes here. All right, let's go to the phone line brought to you by Logic Ammo Enterprises. Adam Brown here tonight. He was at the Page Nolensville game. Adam, how's it going, brother?
It's good. I spent an embarrassing amount of money on hot chocolate, but other than that, I'm good.
Look,
that's a night well spent.
How old are you, Adam?
I'm 22.
Let me tell you what, you're going to spend a lot of money on worthless things throughout the rest of your life. So hot chocolate, you could take that. That's okay.
It's useful.
That's okay. What a fantastic game. Take us through the last 5 minutes of this game. Page wins 35-28. I know Nolensville was driving down the field. Tell us what happened.
Nolensville actually had two chances inside the red zone in the last 4 minutes. And I talked to you guys at halftime and said that it was the Nolensville defense that was the difference, but the Page defense turned it on in the second half and stop them in the red zone twice to seal the game.
Wow, fantastic stuff. Adam Brown joins us right now. He was at that thrilling game tonight. And Adam, I think if Nolensville had that edge at halftime. We're talking about, you know, the going into the game, when we talked to Coach Cunningham from Lincoln County, who was in the same region as both of these teams, mentioned that if Page was to win this game, they had to be able to take advantage of the matchup on the ground. How did that transpire in the second half, and how was Page able to finally move the ball and take advantage of the long drives?
I'm not really sure what was said at halftime, but they came out in the second half and just immediately started moving the ball. So it was like, okay, we've got a game here. And it was more through the air than it was on the ground. They had some really great passes through the air from Colin Hurd. And I talked to him after the game, and he said that there weren't even any adjustments that they made. It was just that they weren't taking advantage of the opportunities they were given, and then they executed in the second half.
And another thing, too, is my favorite aspect of this game was Page had that very heartbreaking overtime loss to Nolensville in the regular season, and it cost them the region. Did you get a sense when talking to players and coaches after the game of what exactly they studied for? What did they look for to be able to kind of turn the course of fate here this go-round?
They didn't give me any specifics, but I did mention that game to Hurd, and he said it definitely felt good to get revenge from that game, and they were not scared, is what he said. Even though Nolensville was undefeated, they felt like they had the players to, you know, get this done and get this win. And their head coach in the huddle after the game said that the biggest difference was they were able to respond to adversity, and that's how championship teams play, and that's why they were able to win and Nolensville was not, because they weren't able to respond.
You know, it's funny, Ad, it's one of those games where you hate to see either team lose. It just, like, both teams deserve to go on. I know that's a stupid statement, but they played so tough. Both games are great, and it's just your heart kind of breaks for the one team from Nolensville that won't be moving on, because it's just a great game tonight, and Page will move on.
Yeah, absolutely. After playoff games is tough with the guys that, you know, they're not going to be playing anymore, and you kind of see their reactions, and they're with their families. So it's a tough scene, but it's also cool to see the seniors that won and them celebrate with their team after the game.
Adam, heck of a job, brother. We appreciate your time tonight on a very cold night. Thank you.
Absolutely, no problem.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, your one-stop shop for everything perfect. And Elijah, our next guest, has a nickname, which you've told me 30 times, and it's the Goose.
That's right, the Goose, Michael Goose Lindsay, on the line with us right now. He got to witness history tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as the York Institute Dragons, we dragon their way to the state semifinals for the second time in school history. Michael Goose Lindsay joins us right now. Goose, how'd that game go down tonight? What was the atmosphere like? Give us the scene in Jamestown, Tennessee tonight.
Well, the atmosphere was take a patch of grass and, like, set it on Antarctica. I mean, it was freezing to death there. But 35-21, York defeats Monterey, a rival from right down the road. I don't like the cliche of closer than the scoreboard says, but it was. Monterey was down 28-21 with, like, 3 minutes to go. York turns them over on downs, and then they're kind of running out the clock, running stuff around the end, and Luke Purnell plants and comes around the corner, and just there's nothing in front of him. So it's like he couldn't help but score to tack on another touchdown to make it 35-21. But, yeah, York, that's a team that they went through a little rough stretch where I know Stone Memorial beat them like 44-7. I was like, okay, York's kind of settling in back to reality, and here they are in the Final Four.
It's remarkable. And that's the one thing about a lot of Derwin Wright coach teams. I feel like that man has coached there, left, and come back many a times. It is an on and off relationship with the school. But what about them offensively makes them really unique? And they've been a really good battle tested team. But from all the times you've gotten to watch them play this year, what about them kind of stands out?
Well, my immediate thought is the word execution. When you see teams that want to run a lot, run heavy, they're usually successful when they can be balanced with good counters, good timing, good ball fakes, play action when you need it. That's what I thought. That they really hit on a lot of counterplay today, and that's good execution. That's good. That's what they sold me on. They really got outside when they needed to. They pounded it up the middle when they needed to. They look crisp and clean, you know, for a team that won't throw it if they don't have to. They really look good running the ball.
Let me ask you this. Elijah been talking about this kind of the small-town atmosphere and excitement of that. Was that palpable? Is that the word I'm
prevalent?
Looking for? Palpable. Palpable. You could touch it and feel it.
Yes.
Could you touch it and feel it tonight?
There was not a seat available in that stadium, and York's one of those that people kind of stand all around the fence. They stretch as far around as they can get it. Yeah, I think the saying, you could rob any business in town. Yeah, everybody in Jamestown was at that stadium.
I always like that. And now, you talk about cliches. That always makes me laugh because it's true, right?
It's not used enough.
It's true because everybody's at that game.
Well, and if you look at York, you want to talk about an athletic program as a whole, but the girls' basketball team that just, won a silver ball in the Class AA state tournament, boys' basketball made the state tournament, and now your football's in the state Final Four, Jamestown right now, they're really getting behind their sports more than they already do because they've got a lot of success to follow.
Man, fantastic stuff. Michael Goose Lindsay joined us from the game, from the Upper Cumberland Reporter. Goose, we appreciate you joining us, man, and a lot of fun stuff. Looking forward to seeing how they fare against Tyner next week.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's going to be a huge challenge for them against Tyner, but they're here now, aren't they?
They are. Why not them?
Are you going to that game?
I will get with Noah McKay, and we'll probably figure that out Wednesday afternoon. So I don't know where I'll be.
Okay. All right.
TBD.
Well, wherever you are, we're going to call you next Friday.
That works for me.
All right. Thank you, Goose. Appreciate you.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. That's what a fun night, man. All right. We'll take another break. We'll come back. More Game Blitz here on the way. We're here till midnight tonight. That's right. Midnight quarterfinal action. High school football. The state of Tennessee is now over. We'll be talking about semifinal games next week. Get you all set up for that as well. This is Game Blitz 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz Show on 102.5, 106.3 the game. Time to bring in some coaches now who are headed to the state championship with Ingle Martin on early. Let's bring in John McNeil, the head coach of Friendship Christian. They won tonight. They're headed back to the state championship. Coach, congratulations on the win. How are we doing?
Well, we're doing great right now. This is, kind of been a couple years not getting there and kind of get spoiled a little bit. And, people always ask, well, if I could just get it one time, I would be satisfied. I can tell you right now, that's not true. I mean, we did it in 06. We got beat, but we were there in 06, and it's bothered. You know, it's even more, you know, like I've got to get back. So we're proud of the kids. They worked hard, and we made we had a meeting after last year on Monday after we got beat on Friday, and we had a long talk, and we set some goals, and the kids worked hard to achieve them.
I think it's fantastic. And you go back last week, the tough win in overtime over DCA, now another tough win versus USJ, and now you head to the state championship, take on Nashville Christian. And the road doesn't get any easier, but what a beautiful road you're on right now, right, Coach?
Well, we knew that the road we had would be against, we felt like, the best teams in the state. We knew DCA, coming back from defending state champions, had a lot of their kids back. We knew that was going to be a battle. And then we knew USJ was the best out of the West, and Nashville Christian is definitely, you know, one of the top teams. So we knew that three best teams were teams that we were going to have to beat to you know, number one, get there, and then number two to win it.
Talking to Coach John McNeil, his Friendship Christian Commanders punched their ticket to Chattanooga tonight, where they will play Nashville Christian. And Coach, the last 2 weeks, one of my favorite things about your team, obviously early in the season, you had some really dominating wins, right, where there's a lot of running clocks. It's a lot of, you know, just being able to kind of cruise to the finish line. And for a lot of teams that do that, you're almost not really sure how your team handles, like, really tough, close one- or two-score games. And your team in the last 3 weeks – or three games, you know, won a two-score game against MTCS, got the overtime win against DCA, and then survived a surge from USJ tonight. But what does that say about your team that, despite all of the dominant success early in the season, you guys are still able to take care of business in crunch time when it's close?
Well, I think last week showed us that. You know, you never know until you're actually in that position. And you're right, in the fourth quarter, we hadn't been in a game where, you know, it wasn't really – pretty much decided. And last week, I think my kids, they showed us what they're really made of. Because a lot of times, if you're not used to that or being involved in that, it's a shell shock. But our kids wasn't. And I told them afterward, I said, you know what? That showed me something. And it's kind of a pretty much every time we've gotten there, we've had to have a game like that. And then we had another battle tonight. You know, it was back and forth, and we had opportunities that we didn't capitalize on to really, you know, we felt like get the game in our hands. But we had the drives when we need them, came out after half, drove it down, scored. And then the fourth quarter, when we had it the last drive down, we held it for quite a few, 5-6 minutes, and ended up scoring. So, you know, just proud of the kids. They worked hard to get to this point.
And Coach, one of my favorite things about, you know, this part of the playoffs is you get some really great atmospheres. What was the atmosphere like crowd-wise at the game, and how did that kind of fuel the energy on the field?
You know, we had a great crowd. I know we had a lot of support from people in Wilson County. I had a lot of people all week saying, hey, we're going to come out. You know, we do represent, and I say this all the time, we represent Wilson County. You know, we're proud to do that. We represent Lebanon. You know, sometimes people get caught up, and I get it. And, you know, it's like, well, we're this school. We can't like that school. And you know, we're just proud to be a part of the Wilson County and representing them. So, you know, we had good support, our own people, of course, but we had other people and that normally don't get to come and watch. And was glad that was the opportunity to showcase our kids.
Coach, as always, we appreciate your time. Congratulations. What a ride it's been. And best of luck in Chattanooga, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Coach John McNeil with the big win there. All right, you know, another big win tonight. Let's Paige wins today against Nolensville. Let's go to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Kelm Enterprises, bringing Coach Rathbone at Paige. Coach, congratulations. Thanks for coming on the show first time. Well done. What did you tell the team after the game tonight?
Man, I just told them to enjoy it. That these opportunities don't come around often, to enjoy it and have fun and celebrate. Come next week, be ready to play Henry County.
What a ride it's been. Take us back. I know you played Nolensville in that great game a few weeks ago. Tough loss in overtime. Did you look at that game anymore, or you just focus on what Nolensville's done the last couple of weeks?
No, we really watched that film and broke it down quite a bit this week. In fact, we focused on that film to see what they did against us to kind of contain us offensively, and we made a few adjustments. Obviously, some of them worked, some of them didn't. So, we didn't use it as motivation, you know, because I believe if you're motivated by revenge, then that wears off after you get in the mouth. So we just wanted to focus on correcting some things we did wrong in the first game.
Yeah, definitely. And, incredible game tonight, Coach. And talking to Charles Rathbone, the head coach for the Page Patriots, and they got a thrilling 35-28 win tonight. And, Coach, one of my favorite things about your win tonight was Nolensville was able to have their opportunities late in the game, and your defense made some plays. What was it about your defense tonight that made them so opportunistic in really key moments?
Well, you know, our defense played well all year long. They really have. And, I mean, I think they were giving up, 14 points a game all year long or something like that. We struggled with Nolensville throwing the ball over the top. And once we got them down inside of 20, they couldn't do that. So that kind of helped us in a way, to be honest with you, you know, that they could not just go vertical on us. So we just kind of our linebackers played underneath and, you know, got hands on balls when it came their way and made some plays. I was proud of them.
Yeah, and looking at the matchup against Henry County, like, you guys had a thrilling game last season in the semifinals. Are you expecting kind of a similar deal this year? And is that game, watching the film from that game last year, something you guys are going to be doing a lot of cramming for leading up to this next week?
Well, you know, I mean, last year, and this year. I mean, it's just, you know, we're just looking forward to the opportunity to play a program like Henry County. That's one of the elite programs in the state of Tennessee, and they always are well-coached, and, you know, always have great athletes, and they play the game the right way. So, you know, we're just honored to get to go up there and play them and get a shot, and, you know, we're going to do our best, and we'll watch last year's game a little bit to see what we did right, didn't do so well. But ultimately, I mean, it's kind of different than watching the game 4 weeks ago than it is, 16 months ago or 12 months ago or whatever it was. So we're just going to – we'll break down film and hopefully put our guys in the best position to be successful.
We're talking to Coach Charles Rathbone at Page High School. They defeated Nolensville tonight. Coach, let's look at the last couple of games in the playoffs. I mean, you beat Green Hill, the tough emotional win against Mount Juliet, the tough win, emotional win tonight against Nolensville. I mean, you've got to be over the moon proud of your guys for just keeping that focus and just playing lights out in these last couple of weeks.
You know, I'm very proud of them. But, you know, we've got to quit doing things that put us in those emotional positions.
Right.
You know, last week against Mount Juliet, we give up two block punts for a touchdown, back-to-back series. Should never happen. You know, I can understand one, but two. We get beat on a double forward pass that wasn't called. And then we go in this week, we drop two wide-open touchdowns that could have, you know, iced the game a lot earlier for us. So we got to make the plays that are there to be made and execute and not put ourselves in those positions. Yeah, it's great that we were able to battle through them and face adversity and all that, but ultimately don't even put yourself in those adverse positions.
Exactly. And I got to tell you, it's beautiful to be practicing football on Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Oh, man, Thanksgiving breakfast, we're having with the boys. It was great last year, and you can't ask for anything better than having with a bunch of teenage boys.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, thank you. Congratulations. We are so proud of you and the program and what you've done over there throughout the years. Coach, thank you as always, and best of luck next week.
Thank you all. I appreciate you.
All right, it's Coach Charles Rathbone at Page. All right, we'll take a break as we do the top and the bottom of the hour. Elijah's got the complete scoreboard update for you. All the games have gone final as we focus from quarterfinal now to semifinal action across the state of Tennessee. You are listening to the Game Blitz right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.